Good evening, everybody. Welcome to our Sunday night online special service with Reverend Tony Cook. Tony, it's so good to have you back again this week.
Thank you. I loved last week and looking forward to being able to share with your folks this week.
You know, I think at the time that, you know, we'll be showing this in October, you're going to be overseas and it's a big trip. It's going to be awesome. You know, you're going to be visiting several places. You're going to be in Rome. Are you going to Ephesus as well?
Ephesus is over in Turkey, and we're not going to be going to Turkey this time, but we're going to be hitting multiple sites in Greece, biblical sites, places where Paul preached. And then, like you said, we're going to also go on to Rome. And some of the sites there, I just, you know, everybody knows about the Colosseum and the Vatican and the big, you know, tourist places. But the places I really love are the prison where Paul was kept.
Wow.
Before his execution, there's a little, it's kind of a circular, cylindrical type prison.
Yeah.
It's underground. It's a pit. But I am so moved every time I'm there to know that, you know, that's where Paul was in his final days. And we go out to the place where Paul was executed. They have a beautiful chapel there. And then they have a church outside of Rome that I believe is really the authentic burial place of Paul. The early Christians knew where he was buried, ended up building a church over it. And so anyway, we're looking forward to that.
Yeah. Well, Brenda and I were able to visit that as well when we were in Rome. It was very, very touching when he was in prison there. It was just really a, kind of a hole, really, a little, you know, in the ground.
Yeah.
And didn't he write some of the epistles from that place?
That particular prison is where he wrote 2 Timothy.
Okay.
Now, the other, what we call prison epistles, what is that? Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon.
Yeah.
That was from an early imprisonment where he's actually under house arrest in an apartment.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So
2 Timothy. So he penned to young Timothy to stir up the gift on the inside of him while encouraging him from the place he was at.
Right.
That is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said, Timothy, God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So we praise God, as you're over there right now, Lord, we thank you for giving Tony great utterance, Lord God, as the guide for this tour, Lord. Thank you, Father, for all of the participants that will be with them. Lord, just may the eyes of their hearts just be flooded with light and flooded with revelation knowledge of your goodness and what you have done. Praise the Lord. And we thank you, Lord God, for each and every person in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Tony, you know, you're one of our faves here.
Thank you.
You've done a lot here in the Bay Area over the years. I can remember that one time where we were outdoor and we had the service outdoors during the pandemic. And you said that that was one of your greatest, hugest services of all time.
Of all time. I felt like Reinhard Bonnke just there, you know. And I was with you in, well, of course, your current location, but I don't remember the address.
Yeah,
but
the
then
Royal
either
Avenue.
Another location before that.
Yeah.
So I've been with you in three different locations.
You have. And we want to thank you so much for your ongoing friendship with us personally and also the church. And and that one small group series that we did, I know that we did Grace, the DNA of God here. And more recently, we did one that was just outstanding. I can't remember the name of it, but it was...
Was that End of Spectator Church?
Yes, it was the End of Spectator Church. And that book was written during the pandemic, right?
I think it was after.
Because
of COVID regulations, I didn't travel as much in 2020.
That's
and
right.
So I actually had four books come out in 2020, but I think that was a year or two after.
Kind
I don't remember when.
Post-pandemic, yeah.
Yeah.
And that was such an encouragement for everybody to be not just a spectator, but be a participator.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your most recent book now, The Magnificent Jesus, what an awesome book. Unmatched, unrivaled, and unparalleled Tony Cook.
Yeah, Jesus is
And
in a class all by himself.
oh man, is he ever. And I'm looking at, there's 300 and about 67, 68 pages. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, Tony, did you write this book yourself, or did you have a ghostwriter write it for you?
I wrote it. I've never had a ghostwriter.
Yeah.
So I don't believe
No,
in ghosts. No, I'm kidding.
you believe in the Holy Ghost, right?
The Holy Ghost, yes. No,
No,
I sit down at my computer and I sit down at my computer and write every one of my
wow.
books.
I know that
and
you
there's other
said.
ways to do it, but
No, I
that's how I
understand.
prefer.
Yeah, and wow. I mean, so this is a masterpiece. This is really a work of art, just beautifully put together. And I don't know, you said last week you don't know how long it took you, because I'm sure that, you know, you would start and then you would travel, and but you seem to write really well on the road too, don't you?
Well, I've had to learn that. I've written a lot of my books in airports and airplanes and hotel rooms, in addition to writing when I'm home. So just have to be flexible with our traveling.
Well, one thing I can remember about you is that when you get the inspiration to write, the clock really doesn't matter. I mean, you will literally write, you know, a great portion of the evening away, won't you?
Yeah, I've written 10 hours a day sometimes and till 2 in the morning. And when I'm on a roll, you know, for lack of a better term, in the flow, there's probably better words. But yeah, it just, time doesn't make a lot of difference. I just try to go with the flow that's working.
Well, you're a gift to the body of Christ. You're a gift to pastors with all of the seminars that you do and all of the things that really, really help us a great deal. I just want to thank you so much for that. You know, I think of
Thank you.
books like In Search of Timothy, right? And The Dream Team, Spectator Church, and all these golden things. And this one here is something, you know, I think that'll, in the future, if Jesus tarries, I think this will be in Bible colleges and in Bible schools. Actually, I think some schools are already using some of your books, aren't they?
Yeah, several schools are. And we just had a place order, you know, Magnificent Jesus yesterday. I won't say which, but a prominent Bible school ordered it. And so yeah, we're just thrilled for that. I spent 18 and a half years teaching in Bible school. And so just when we can get those into the hands of students, it means the world to us.
Oh man, yeah, so very good. And we're really delighted to have you with us again this evening.
Thank
And
you.
So last week, we started talking about the book. We started talking about this great quote in the front of the book. And let me just see if I can find it real quick. Praise the Lord. Where'd you go?
It's Henrietta Mears, make Christ
Henrietta
magnificent
Mears.
In the eyes of men.
Make Christ magnificent in the eyes of men. So tonight we want to kind of continue on with the thought of John chapter 1. Is it verse 1? And then
verse 1.
And verse 14. Am I quoting it right? In the beginning was
You're
the Word.
Getting it perfectly.
And the Word was with God. And the Word
was God. Which
implies
there's more than one person. The Word was God, which is his deity.
Right.
And the
and
Word was made
14.
Flesh, his humanity.
Yeah. Let's talk about that a little bit more, Tony. Go right ahead.
Well, we focused last week on his pre-existence, that you know, Jesus has existed from eternity past.
Yeah.
He became human in Bethlehem. One of the things Jesus prayed in John 17, what's called his high priestly prayer, when he knew he was getting ready to die, he was getting ready to go to the cross. And he said, "And now, Father, restore to me the glory I had with you before the world was." So Jesus stepped out of glory into humanity. And as he was getting ready to go to the cross, he was praying ahead. And he said, "Father, restore to me the glory I had with you before the world was." So Jesus himself overtly stated that he had glory with the Father. and before the world was ever created. But as you go on in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God. You know, that implies, you know, to use the word with, I can't say I'm with Pastor Mark unless right. Pastor Mark is with me. And that means there's two of us. Well, mm-hmm. we know that the Godhead is made up of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We do not believe there are three gods. That is not what the Bible teaches. That would be tritheism. But we do believe there is one God who eternally exists in three persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they are co-equal and co-eternal. Now, the human brain says, I don't understand how something can be three and one. And we address that a lot in the book, but it's okay for God to be bigger than our brain. Yes. There's one God who exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So anyway, when we begin to look at the role of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we understand that the Bible, when we look at it carefully, it really gives us a delineation of roles. And what you see is the Father plans, the Son performs, and the Spirit perfects. And so, you know, God the Father planned creation. Jesus actually carried it out. And then the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters, kind of perfecting it, nurturing it into perfection. In redemption, God the Father planned it. God the mm-hmm. Son came and performed it. And then God the Holy Spirit comes and applies it to us, makes it real to our hearts. Yeah. So the Trinity, and this is part of our concept in the book, The Dream Team, which mm-hmm. is one of our older books, but that the ultimate dream team was not the 92 Olympians with Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, and Michael Jordan, and Mark Thomas. Oh, wait a minute.
I thought maybe you were on that team. No, that was 1950. I'm sorry.
So,
you know, Tony and I have a contest that we do called the 3-point contest.
Yes.
And I don't know how it happens, but we've played it two or three times and he whips me every time. But I want you to know, Tony, I was in the gym yesterday. I was practicing. So I'm ready for you.
Okay.
They call me.
You might take me down next time.
The South Pole from the South Side.
You might take me down next time.
Tony, you're left-handed too, but I don't know how you pull it off. I just don't understand it.
I don't either. But so the original dream team was not, you know, Magic, Michael, and Larry. It was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And They always function in perfect harmony, unity. They're three, yet they're one. They're one, yet they're three. It's okay for it to have some mystery and that type of thing. But the Word was with God. Mm-hmm. You know, that's communicating that there's more than one person involved. And then the Word was God. Yeah. You know, Jesus, there's 10 different times that Jesus, the Word, you know, worship is used of Jesus, theos, the word for God is used of Jesus in the Gospels in the New Testament. And, you know, Jesus understood fully, you know, when the devil said, you know, I'll give you all this if you'll just bow down and worship me. Jesus knew what the Old Testament taught. He said, get behind me, Satan. The scripture says you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And so Jesus knew that you can't worship anybody but God. But 10 times in scripture, theos, the Greek word for God, is applied to Jesus. And multiple times in scripture, he is worshiped. You know, people came and worshiped him as early as the wise men who brought the gold and frankincense and myrrh. The Bible says that they brought their gifts to this new king. And when they went into the house, they beheld him and knelt and worshiped him. And, you know, different people worship Jesus, including after his resurrection, Thomas says, my Lord and my God, you know, and Jesus never told anybody not to worship him. If he wasn't who he said he was, then he was a blasphemer, and the Pharisees were right in thinking they should kill him. Mm-hmm. But Jesus was God. He was God. And then that fourth part of the phrase, the word was made flesh and dwelt yes. among us. Jesus took on a human body through what we call the incarnation and the virgin birth. It's really a virgin conception, not, mm-hmm. not just a virgin birth. It is a virgin birth, but it's a virgin conception. Yes. Jesus was not conceived through any human act. It was the Holy Spirit came yes. upon Mary. And,
overshadowed her.
In that, Jesus had full humanity through Mary, but he did not have Adam's sin. And so the Bible says he was made like us in all ways, except that he was without sin. Jesus had to be, you referenced either this session or last session about Jesus being sinless. And that's absolutely true, because if Jesus had sinned, he mm-hmm. couldn't have died for our sins. He would have had to die for his own. And so when we put all this together, we just come up with this amazing, I don't want to use package, I guess, for lack of a better term, that Jesus is fully God and fully man. Wow. And because of who he is, because he's fully God, he's able to represent God to us. Yes. And because he's fully man, he's able to represent us to God.
Oh, I love
and,
it.
And you think about when Jesus was on the cross, where was he? You know, he was halfway. He wasn't really on the earth. He was suspended above the earth, and yeah. he wasn't really in heaven. He was below heaven. So Jesus, when he died, was between earth and heaven. He had been rejected by earth below. The Bible mm-hmm. says he came to his own, and his own did not receive him.
Yeah.
He was rejected from earth below. And if people can understand this, he was rejected from heaven above.
Wow.
I grew up in church, like I know you did, every year. The week before Easter, we'd hear the crucifixion story.
Yeah.
And Pastor Mark, it always bothered me when they would read the part where Jesus said, my God, why yeah. have you forsaken me?
Yeah.
Because I remember as a little kid, because I didn't understand what was going on. I thought, man, God, you didn't even help your own son mm-hmm. at his greatest hour of need. And I remembered thinking, I guess I'd better look out for myself, because if God won't help Jesus when he needs help, why would God help me when I need help? I'm not as good as Jesus. Mm-hmm. But what I didn't understand is that on the cross, and this is another thing we deal with a bit in the book, is that Jesus on the cross was there not for himself. Yeah. He was there as our substitute.
Yeah.
He took our place. And the reason Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me, is because he had taken on sin for us.
Yeah.
Isaiah 53, written 750 years before Jesus even showed up, Isaiah prophesied how that God would put our iniquity on Jesus.
Wow.
So Jesus became the sin bearer. Paul even said it this way, and there's people argue about what this verse means, but 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. So instead of understanding Jesus crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me, to lead us to a place of mistrust, and I don't know if I could really count on God, it really should bring us to a place of great trust.
Oh yeah,
because
I love it.
Jesus was forsaken so I would not have to be.
Come on.
Jesus knew abandonment. You know, some people use it, God turned his back on him.
Yeah.
But it was because Jesus at that moment wasn't just Jesus himself in his own intrinsic holiness and purity, but Jesus had become the sin bearer for us. And that's why he cried out.
Yeah. Oh, my God, why has he forsaken me? He was forsaken so that we could be accepted. I like what one person says of 2 Corinthians 5:21. He became sin with our sinfulness that we might be righteous with his righteousness. Wow.
That's a good way to say it. I like that.
What a God that we serve. Yeah. And, you know, he lived a sinless life, and yet he was tempted, the Bible says, at all points like as we are. And so even in his earthly walk, he demonstrated to us how that we can resist the temptations that come to us. What a savior. What a God we serve.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know, we talked a lot about the preexistence of Jesus in Revelation. It's 13:8. It says that Jesus was the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world. Mm-hmm. In other words, the cross was not an afterthought.
Wow.
The cross was pre, and again, this gets into things that are beyond my level of intelligence, but I like to say it this way: before man ever had a problem, God already had the solution.
Glory
now,
to God.
Jesus didn't come and physically carry it out until the cross, but in the mind of God, that was already in the plan.
Glory to God.
Be our Redeemer and our Savior. And that's why we say he's magnificent, Jesus.
Yes, yes. When he hung on that cross, we were on his mind. Oh, glory
to God.
I
like that.
He is so good, and he is worthy of our praise. Amen.
Yeah. And you mentioned at the end, you were going through some of the other chapters. We have a chapter on the present day works of Jesus. What is he doing today?
Yeah.
Because when Jesus sat down, you know, we know he died, he descended into the lower parts, he rose. When he rose, he said, I have the keys of hell and death.
Yeah.
You know, he had conquered death, hell, and the grave. And then he spent some time with his disciples, and he ascended into heaven. And everybody knows this. He sat down at the right hand of God. When people, well, what do you mean he sat down? And I like, somebody said it this way. When he sat down, he didn't sit down to rest. He sat down to reign.
Wow.
And he sits on a throne of universal authority. And when he sat down, he didn't go into retirement. He shifted his, and he didn't quit his ministry. He began a new type of ministry where today he's our advocate, our intercessor, our high priest. He's our shepherd. He's our healer. He's our sustainer and perfecter. And then I think probably we have another chapter, or I don't know if it's a separate chapter, but on the future works of Christ. You know, he's coming back, and he's going to rule and reign. And so Jesus, you know, people only see him as a historic figure, and that's not the whole picture. He's an eternal figure. Eternity past, historical, you know, present and future, and then eternal. You know, he's the
That's so good.
Woo. Like a friend of mine used to say, he's the allness of the muchness.
Come on now, I love that. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Wow. I think of that scripture. He ever liveth. He's alive. He is alive, and he is busy. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. It's great to know that the Master has us on his mind. He sees us in our particular situations. He knows, you know, the valleys that we face. He knows the things that come our way.
Yeah.
But oh, thank God, he's taken his place as our high priest, our great intercessor, and he's watching over you, and he's watching over me, and he's watching over all of you that are tuned in tonight. Oh, it's good, good news. Amen.
Yep. In the book of Revelation, Pastor Mark, now I'm not talking about the end of the book where we get into the real finale of things, but just at the beginning of the book of Revelation, Jesus appears to John and reveals himself through a vision. And in the vision, Jesus is walking in the middle of the seven lampstands.
Wow.
And John tells us these lampstands symbolically represent local churches.
Yes.
And so, yes, Jesus is seated in heaven, but he's able to do, you remember the old phrase, somebody can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Yeah.
Somebody can walk and chew gum at the same time. Yeah. Jesus can reign in heaven and also be walking in the middle of the seven churches, which just represented all churches.
Wow.
So, he's, your Sunday morning, Jesus is walking up and down the church aisles.
Yeah,
rows,
I love that.
And for right
two
now,
or three
he's
are gathered in my name. He's right in the midst of us. Glory
and his promise, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. If I go away, I will come again. I'm going to prepare a place for you.
Yeah.
Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's not, there may be people watching right now that think, man, I just think God's done with me. No, Jesus is the author and the finisher. He that began a good work in you will perform it, will perfect it until the very day that Jesus Christ returns.
Wow. Praise God. So we're going to let him do that in our lives. We're going to allow him to finish and to complete what he has started. Oh man, that's so good. That's encouraging to all of us tonight. Thank God, God's not finished with us yet. We are still under construction, and he is doing a good, and he's doing a mighty work. I love that chapter in this book. And with your permission, Tony, I think I'm going to, on a couple of the Sunday night onlines, I think I'm going to go through a couple of chapters and teach it, if that's okay with you.
I would love that if you did that. That'd be great.
I've been teaching your messages for years. Tony,
Pastor Mark, we all get things from each other, so we all borrow each other's brains from time to time.
Tony's a great helper of a lot of pastors. You've been such a helper of our local church, and we can hardly wait to have you come back and see us. Praise the Lord! And I know that this book is selling a lot of books, and you can get this book by just going on to tonycook.org. It'll be the cheapest way for you to get the book. You can also get it on Amazon, and Amazon, I think you said, is about $8 more. So this
it's
is
about
book,
$8 more expensive there.
Yeah, I think this is a book that you really need to have in your library. There's certain books that are must-have books, and this is one of them. I think of books like, by F.F. Bosworth, Christ the Healer. Brother Hagin said that he wore out several copies of Christ the Healer when he was traveling, and those were hardcover books. And so, I mean, this book, I highly recommend every one of you to get it, get it in your library, and you will be blessed. And you know what? It'll not only help you, but it'll also help you to instruct some other people that maybe, have very little knowledge of this and have questions. That's part of our mission, is our discipleship to others. And so the more familiar you can become with this magnificent Jesus, praise the Lord, the more able then you will be to minister the truths that are in the Word of God and in this book, praise God. So it's a masterpiece, and I am just so thrilled. And we're going to be sending a special offering to Brother Tony as well, because we value this time we're having together. And we're going to be lifting him up and praying for him. I know, Tony, you travel, I don't know how many times during the year, but I've looked at some of your statistics, because I'm on your board, of how many – how many times that you've actually preached, even within the United States? Do you have any numbers from 2023? Just ballpark.
I know on an 8-day trip to Nigeria, I preached 35 times. That was just one time, one event. I don't know my numbers. Tally them up at the end of each year, but I really don't look at them. But we're thankful for all the opportunities.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the Nigeria group really puts you to work. Brenda and I were there
They
years
are hungry,
ago.
hungry
Oh,
people. Yeah.
yeah, they really are. And I know they want you to come back and praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, Tony, any other thoughts, any other final thoughts that you might have before that we go ahead and sign off here in a few minutes?
Yeah, I think I would just say that it kind of something we said the last time that there's value in every Bible topic. Anything the Bible teaches is wonderful. But what you don't want to do is teach so many topics and then forget that every single topic is really rooted and grounded in Jesus and his redemptive work.
Yeah.
So we talk about, don't just seek healing, seek the healer.
I love it.
Don't just seek peace as a fruit, seek the Prince of Peace,
Amen.
because otherwise we get the blessings disconnected from the blesser,
Yeah.
and all the blessings are in him. So
Yes.
we
Yes,
think
and
people keeping their
amen.
focus and
Yeah.
keeping him at the center will always serve them well.
And I think the more that he is talked about, the more that he's given glory, even in our services. I've seen our services come up from a place of, it's been good. But even in the area of worship, when Jesus is magnified, I think of that one song, I Speak Jesus. So powerful.
Right.
And so
Yeah.
he is Lord and he is good. Tony, would you just invite people that may not know the Lord or would like to get back to him? Would you invite them
Yeah.
and just pray a prayer over them, please?
I absolutely would. Thank you, Pastor Mark. And thank you and Miss Brenda for being such great pastors and loving people the way you have over the decades there in the Bay. Sure love and appreciate you guys.
Thank you, Tony.
If you're watching this right now and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior,
That's
it's
it.
not enough just to say, "Oh, I believe in Him." Like I said, the last session, the devil believes in Jesus. It's
Right.
not intellectualist, and it's not like, "Well, I believe in George Washington." I believe in just there are a bunch of historic figures. No, Jesus is different. He's alive today. And he
Yes.
wants to be your Lord and Savior. He died on the cross for you. He shed his blood for your sins. And if you're watching this and you've never accepted him as Savior and Lord, I'm talking to you and I want you to open your heart and say yes
Yes.
to God. If you maybe accepted the Lord at one point, but you've been away from him, you've been like the prodigal son, you've been, doing your own thing, you go on your own path in life. God wants you to come home, not to punish you. He wants to show mercy to you and kindness to you.
Yes.
So I'm going to lead us in a prayer. This is simply a way for you to verbally articulate that you are saying yes to Jesus today. So maybe bow your head, pray this with me. Say, "Dear God, I come to you right now. I thank you that you love me. You love me so much that you sent Jesus to die for me. He shed his blood for my forgiveness. But Jesus didn't stay dead. God, you raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus, you're alive right now. You're offering me your love, your forgiveness, a brand new start in life. Jesus, I accept you as my Savior and as my Lord. God, help me to live for you all the days of my life and to honor you and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen."